We are going to spend today talking about Rosh Hashanah. It was actually yesterday, and we're celebrating it on Sunday, so I want to give us a preview of some of this Tom and Pete heard because they were at Wednesday night Bible study, but it's all right. It won't hurt to repeat it. Rosh Hashanah, the word Rosh is the head or the beginning. And Shana is any division of time or any indication of an age. So it's not really linked to any particular occasion with regard to the Jewish history like Passover was and Pentecost and all that. But they say certain things happened. It's universally said in all of the ancient documents and all of the rabbis that I respect that the earth was created on Rosh Hashanah. And so it was the beginning of the age of time, or the beginning of the 7 days of linear time. It said that Moses received or descended with the second tablets on Rosh Hashanah. And it's also said that the walls of Jericho fell on Rosh Hashanah. It's It floats through time and is really, it's connected to renewal as opposed to any particular point in time. And so the celebration itself indicates this mystery that, it said that the Shulamite woman's son was raised from the dead on Rosh Hashanah by Elijah. And it was, remember, she was barren and her and her husband built him a little room and all kinds of stuff. And they were too old to have children. And Elijah prayed and they had a child. And then when he was older, he died. And then, Elijah raised him from the dead. And that, remember it's said by the ancients that all things that the Messiah will do were done by the prophets in the Old Testament. And so, obviously there's more than one raising from the dead, but here there's one example of it. And again, it was from that child standpoint, it was the beginning. It's also said to be the judgment day. So it's not only the beginning of time, but it's the end of time. And all of the scriptures, especially in the New Testament, that talk about the trumpets blowing at the end of time, if you will, that's what happens on Rosh Hashanah. They blew the trumpets from the beginning of Rosh Hashanah. They didn't blow them at night, but then all the next day, they blew them, from sunset until dark on the night of the beginning of the day of Rosh Hashanah, then blew them all the next day. It is more than likely happened that Christ was born the evening or the beginning of that day of Rosh Hashanah. And the trumpets were blowing, and there were over 100 trumpets that were blowing when they blew, and it was an incredible sound. And I no doubt heard that in Bethlehem, where his birth was. They heard this massive sound of trumpets. And it always created awe in the people. The trumpets were blown at other times, too, the call to war, the call to defense, other times, but always on other times when it was blown, the shofar, which is either a ram's horn or some other kind of animal horn, all other times the mouthpiece for it was silver. On Rosh Hashanah, the mouthpiece for it is gold. That's an incredibly unique aspect of Rosh Hashanah. The blowing of trumpets on Rosh Hashanah heralded something very, very, very special when the mouthpiece was gold.
So Mary heard this, Joseph, is that right?
Pardon?
Mary and Joseph heard all this, is that what you're saying?
Oh yeah, all of them, and so did the shepherds, there were the pre-shepherds, and everybody heard. And also, the most important thing is that the shofar is said to announce Messiah. And this is one of the reasons that those who were awaiting the 70th year of Daniel and had moved back to Jerusalem were all it was just another signal that something was going on. All of the ancient writings, the Zohar, the Midrash, the Talmud, etc., teach that Rosh Hashanah is a time of absolute newness. And it comes with the experience of age that it comes from the experience of recognizing that all is vanity. That's why it's everything about Rosh Hashanah is connected to repentance. The sound of the trumpets was a reminder of that repentance. Because every time, especially on Rosh Hashanah, that the trumpets blew, it reminded them that this could be the beginning of Messiah. Now, others, I've said in the past that well, remember that the readings for the period from Tammuz to Ab in those 3 weeks, the readings were the three of rebuke. The readings from Ab to Rosh Hashanah are called the seven of consolation. The two readings between between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are the two of repentance. They're the most intense of the repentance scriptures in the Old Testament. All getting ready for now, the soon to arrive marriage supper of the Lamb. But it's without question that the call to repentance by the shofar is a preparation so that the garment will not be spotted by the flesh in any way. And it said judgment day is on Rosh Hashanah. It says it over and over. Then three books are opened. One is the book of life for people that have seen him. The other is the book of death, because it's those that have rejected him. And then the third book is still unfilled out, because it's said that you have now 10 days to repent of your activities that are truly vanity. So I'm trying to say that the call of the shofar isn't just some interesting thing in history. It is a time, it is a call for your repentance to be complete. There's no more excuse. There's no more reason. You can't justify any more reason for time. That's what really it means. Does everybody understand that? So it's this is why this period of time, are from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacles, all occur within 21-day period, and it's all of those are the highest of high holy days. Now, if you read the law, it can't happen if there's no temple. Now, the temple is the human body. So everything that was necessary to happen in the temple has to happen in you, so that the repentance is 100%. There's no excuse for anything but faith. So this is what produces the days of awe. This is why the Jews were rushing to John the Baptist during the days of awe to be baptized. Amen? You're doing
it. This goes to something you said yesterday about wishing baptism on Rosh Hashanah. So I guess...
I said it in the day between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Okay, well, you just talked about rushing to get baptized. I thought that was...
No, that's rushing so that you're ready for Yom Kippur, which is the end. So it's only the mercy of God that extended it 10 days here. During that 10-day period when John the Baptist was baptizing, I've said I often wish that we had done the same. You know, we talked about it back then, if you remember. I think you remember. But we decided, or I don't know if we did, but I decided that we would do it in line with what the first century Christians did. They baptized on... Well, some of them baptized all the time, but the formal baptisms were on Pentecost. So anyway, I was just explaining what was going on in my mind anyway. It's called the second innocence, or the day of naivete. It's the day that is really referred to, or the time is referred to, in that Matthew chapter 18:3, where it says, except you be converted and become as a little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. That becoming as a little child is the reason this is called the day of naivete, or the day of innocence. It celebrates the need for absolute newness, not renewal. That's a big, big thing. That's why the meaning of the word, when it says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. It's not new in time. It's new in class. New in... an alien landed.
Something you said the other night about you've been affected by an alien.
Yeah.
This really struck a chord.
Yeah, you've been. It's a big, powerful germ that you've been infected with. it takes over everything.
Contrary to the whole world system.
Right. Most celebrate either New Year's, we do in January 1st, or many celebrate, but most celebrate, especially in ancient culture, all of their New Year happened in the spring. And it normally happened at the beginning of the spring equinox. Is that the equinox? Anyway, I'm thinking clearly right now. The Jews celebrate it after all the crops have brought in, that there's nothing to do. It's essentially the essence is that you've seen the emptiness and vanity of all things. In the law, there's only two things that are enjoined: the blowing of trumpets and then the festive sacrifices. In older times, the blowing of the trumpets had been the signal to move while they were in the wilderness, or summoned to warfare, or a proclamation of public rejoicing. It's also celebrated at the new moon each month. There's a minor blowing of trumpets at the. So again, we celebrate the full moon. The Jews celebrated the time of rejoicing when the moon was dark. All other cultures start their day either in the morning or at midnight. The Jews start their day. And you can't see three stars or sunset. That's why all of time is moving through us, through the New Jerusalem. And it's going from west to east. That's why all the sacrifices and everything, you had to be facing toward the west, not the east. The east always represents the hope of the human race. Because it heralds the new day in which you're going to get your hopes or whatever. Not so in Hebrew.
So Rosh Hashanah was celebrated when the moon was dark. That's what you're saying.
Huh?
Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, it's the new moon. Well, there's a whole lot of, we won't go into all this, but the elect are summoned by the sound of the trumpet in the day of Christ's coming in Matthew 24, verse 31. Not only the living, but those also who had died, were dead. In 1 Corinthians 15:52, and also 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Revelation 8, 2, 10, 7, and 11, 17 are all about blowing of the trumpets at this elect. We'll go through this. But this was the proclamation of the high priest. But actually, it was a high priest in Jerusalem, but it was the major priest in any other place. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe. Blessed be he who reneweth the months. Blessed be he by whose word the heavens were created, and by the breath of whose mouth all hosts thereof were formed. He appointed them a law and a time, that they should not overstep their course. They rejoice and are glad to perform the will of their Creator, the author of truth. Their operations are truth. He spake to the moon, be thou renewed, and the beautiful diadem, the hope of man, or hope of Israel, who shall one day be quickened like the moon at the coming of Messiah, and praise their Creator for his glorious kingdom. Blessed is he who reneweth the moon. And then remember, with the one that we read, we'll read that one. But blessed is he who hears. And the word hear there doesn't mean just you listen, you hear something, you hear and understand. Blessed is he who hears the call of the trumpet or trumpets. Jewish women abstained from work because the women refused to give their earrings for the golden calf, while the men gave theirs. The Jewish women gave their ornaments for the temple. Interestingly, there was no sin offering in the morning service. This is, I think, unique. The three books were one of life, for those whose works have been good, one of death, for the thoroughly evil, and the intermediate. Their case is to be cited in Yom Kippur 10 days later. The 10-day period is granted for the mercy of, because of the mercy of God for repentance. All the children of men pass before the Yahweh like lambs when they are counted for tithing. Again, those 10 days are called the days of repentance. The bent ram's horn used to remind Israel of the sacrifice of Isaac, despite all of Satan's wiles. Again, for proper observance, it was necessary not only to hear, but to listen to the sound of the horn. Everything depends on the intent of the heart. Just as Moses and the brazen serpent did not heal, but the upturning of the heart of Israel to their Father in heaven, that's what healed. Faith is what always heals. Just as the Jewish day starts at sunset, so the Jewish New Year, based on the lunar calendar, starts when the moon is darkest, the beginning of the darkest season, winter. This is a continuous testament of faith that we do not need the light of the sun nor the moon or senses, for our light is the Lamb of God. New Year, all are judged, but the rabbis say, and thou dost visit him every morning, and thou dost try him every moment. The judgment day is Rosh Hashanah, but man's doom is sealed on Yom Kippur. Man is judged only according to his actions on Rosh Hashanah. If he repents during the days of awe, he is judged only by mercy. Rosh Hashanah begins after the harvest, typically after you have seen the futility of all your seeds that have been planted by you and your fathers. And this is something that we used to do, but the season is for all intents and purposes time for a serious personal inventory and the accounting of your life. Is there some person or circumstance that you haven't forgiven from the heart? Can you be totally at rest, or are you experiencing brief periods of peace and contentment, only to be followed by anger and resentments, etc.? Know you not that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate? Rosh Hashanah has neither an agricultural nor a historic basis. It is not limited to the Jewish experience, because it is the day the world was created. Therefore, its significance is universal. If we see that we are forgiven and free without condemnation, we then automatically are generous with our forgiveness towards our fellow man. In other cultures, New Year is a time for reveille and rowdiness. For us, it is a time of reflection, repentance, and then renewal of the resurrection of Christ in us. And Psalm 27 was read each day of the month preceding Rosh Hashanah. Now that's enough. We could go on forever. Take this seriously. Anybody have any response? Tom?
Nope.
Anything hit you?
No, it's always, I mean, every feast that comes around is a time that's worth being in that moment as opposed to another moment. And I've been in this moment before, but it's still it's as important a moment now as it was every other time that the same moment came around.
Now let the fear of God cause total repentance. All right, take a big breath.